And this hour, we're taking calls with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we shall do so in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Dr. Jerome Corsi as we are talking about cryptocurrency and bitcoins. If you're part of crypto, jump on board. If you just have a question, jump on board as well. I'm skittish about cryptos, Jerry.
Well, George, I think it's legitimate to be cautious about them because they're new, and the whole idea of just making up money, you know, hypothecating it out of thin air, as it were. You create a Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency, the generic term, just by creating one. And, of course, the dollar is not got gold or silver behind it. It's a fiat currency, and we're moving in terms of digital currency. So the question legitimately is, why should the government have a monopoly on producing money? That's a very interesting concept.
Yeah, it sure is.
And, you know, you've got a very large, you've got probably maybe 15% of the population already taking a look or investing in one form or another cryptocurrency. I just caution people, you know, not to bet the house. Don't put your retirement money in. Try cryptocurrency with money you can afford to lose, the same way you would go to a casino responsibly, planning that, you know, if you win, great, but if you lose, that was the money you plan to spend. Then you don't get hurt. And learn it, because it takes some time and some knowledge to understand how cryptocurrency works. But the younger generation is catching on to it, and those who are computer savvy, I'm very enthusiastic about the whole concept of cryptocurrency, and I encourage people to take a hard look at it.
If retail outlets don't accept cryptos, what happens?
Well, of course, then they're not used there, but increasingly, I'm finding a lot of the digital exchanges are operating so to accept cryptocurrency. You can pay in dollars, or you can pay in cryptocurrency. So I see even some of the major payment systems incorporating cryptocurrencies as one of their payment options. And I think that, you know, some of the currencies like XRP, which is a variant of the cryptocurrencies, really does operate on a more traditional banking type exchange, such that it is going to be working into the banking network with a form of cryptocurrency. I think XRP is distinct from some of the other cryptocurrencies, and its structure and nature makes it more easily adaptable into a banking setting. But again, these are new emerging ideas and technologies, but I see them being valid, and I think they're going to have a future, provided the governments allow private cryptocurrencies to exist and the regulations stay reasonable and don't become oppressive.
Is it conceivable that we'll get our payroll by crypto?
Yes, and in fact, George, right now you're going to probably get your payroll electronically, you know, with something deposited in your account, and that's going to be fiat currency by dollars. So we're going to be moving even in dollars to a digital currency where the printing of money, dollar bills or coins, is going to be either rare or maybe even gone. Certainly China is moving in that direction already. China has the first central bank digital currency, and they're intending it also to be used in international trade, and China is combining it with quantum computers and a quantum financial system. I mean, this is really new world type of technology and thinking, but it's here. It's coming very quickly upon us, and I think very exciting.
Let's go to the phones. Let's start with John in Syracuse, New York. John, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for taking my call, George. And, Doctor, this is really great conversation we're having here, and I think cryptocurrency is going to be really important for the future. And I wanted to talk to the doctor really fast about the lingo for Dogecoin. It's actually Dogecoin. I know.
It's although it did start with that viral meme of dog, so it's
yeah,
that's a game.
But I follow the subreddit, so I know those folks.
It's Dogecoin, but Doge is a word again. That's an Italian word for the states, the medieval cities, like, you know, city states like Venice and Genoa. Yeah. It's not a common English term. Whereas doggy seems, I guess Elon Musk really got that stamped in line with Saturday Night Live's appearances, but it is Dogecoin, yes.
But go ahead, John.
I'll have to check that out. And then so I had two questions, and then I'll turn back the radio on. So do you think in the future when cryptocurrencies are more stable that employers will begin investing retirement savings or 401ks in cryptocurrencies? And what regulations do you think the U.S. and China could enact that will not hurt the cryptocurrency market and maybe help it or possibly work together?
Okay, thank you for that, John. Well, let's take that second one first, Jerry.
Well, they're both good questions. I think in terms of regulatory, we don't want criminals in, and certainly, you know, they do celebrity marketing. You know, this is Elon Musk says do this. Well, it's not really Elon Musk. Or we'll give you the opportunity to be a miner, you know, make more money or get people in your network and you make money from their cryptocurrency purchases. Many of these things are scams and you better be careful about them. And the regulations to eliminate the criminals is a good idea. In terms of whether or not you'll be able to get, you know, your payroll, your retirement savings, I do think cryptocurrencies are going to become a legitimate investment option for those who are sophisticated in it, learn it, and, you know, there's going to be international exchanges. I don't see any reason why cryptocurrencies can't be an alternative to sovereign state-issued monies and coexist. But again, that's going to depend upon the regulators not coming heavy-handed and saying the only one who has the ability to create money is the government itself.
Right.
And right now we have a decentralized ability with cryptocurrencies to create money, and I think that's healthy.
Did social networking help cryptocurrency?
Absolutely, George. I think the whole phenomenon of cryptocurrency really took off with social networking. You know, various of the sites, Facebook, Twitter, the others have, you know, really passed the word, and there are communities of people who are experts and knowledgeably discussing these things on the various websites, specialized websites that devoted to cryptocurrency. I mean, I'm finding people, especially younger, who get into it, become quite expert in it and are really sophisticated in their knowledge of it. I think the sell-off recently has surprised a lot of people, and the fact that, you know, almost half of the value, over $1 trillion, just wiped out of the market. This is, again, a symbolic, I think, of indicative of a new idea. Over time, I think cryptocurrencies will get more stable.
You don't think you see a total collapse?
I don't think so, George. I mean, there's too many people who are into the concept, and if you really get into the logic of how the blockchain works, the ability to really preserve data, and so that your data or that you get on a blockchain is everybody's data. And it's much harder to commit fraud or to have a cyber attack when the data itself is decentralized. These are, you know, fundamentally new concepts that the computers have permitted to be possible. And they are very, very interesting for the future development of how money will work. I think we're at the edge of really kind of reconceptualizing what money means, and I'd like to see cryptocurrency continue and thrive.
Jerry, it's an amazing thing, and I have a friend of mine in St. Louis who bet me that he says it'll be up to $200,000 a coin by the end of December. I said, no way. I think I'm going to win this bet.
Well, you probably will, George, but you probably won't win it long term. You know, in the future, cryptocurrencies around, I think, you know, Bitcoin, which is now half its value, is trading about $30 a Bitcoin, $30,000 a Bitcoin, $30,000.
And it got up to what, 50, 60,000?
64,000.
Jeez.
About 64,000.
One coin.
One coin. Now, that could go to 200.
Which you could have done with a couple pennies when it first started.
When it first came out, and, you know, very few people knew about this.
That was, what, 2009, something like that?
Around then, yes. That's when it was really beginning. And I knew some of the early people who were in this, and they've made lots of money. And, again, some of the newer forms of cryptocurrency are beginning at pennies, and they're worth a look to kind of try to ride the wave of the new cryptocurrencies. But again, you've got to be able to be knowledgeable about this, like any market. You've got to put time into it, study into it, and again, don't bet the farm on it. You know, I mean, that's why I continue to, what CorsDebt.com, my website, is, you know, got gold and silver investments and annuities, which are fixed annuities, which are insured by insurance companies. I'm saying, you know, cryptocurrency is a great idea and I'm in favor of it, but long term, I think gold and silver are still going to be of real important value and have appreciated tremendously since 1971 when we went off the gold standard. And annuities, where you get a government, no government guarantee, but an insurance company guarantee, and yet can do indexed annuities where you get gains in markets. These are some innovations that people need to take a look at. But I, you know, if you're dealing with your retirement savings, you want to be safe.
Very careful. Yeah.
Very careful. If you're younger and you've got, you know, disposable cash and you want to begin the idea of investing, well, then you've got more time to recover if you lose. And that's, and your risk tolerance can be greater. But no matter what your age, don't risk more than you can afford to lose. You know, don't get wild and thinking you're going to get rich. It's going to be any, like anything, it's going to take systematic work, and it can be yet a good value, but it's going to take time, work, and knowledge to be expert in cryptocurrency, just like any other form of investing.
Let's go next to Mike in Denver, Colorado. Michael, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George. Thank you so much for taking my call. And Dr. Corsi, this is such an honor for me to get to talk to you this evening. Thank you so much for all your insight. And you really mean a lot to myself and my generation, which is millennials. So thank you so much. And I just had a comment and a question on Bitcoin tonight. So, Mr. Corsi, when we talk about Bitcoin, the government has stated that it has its share of security concerns surrounding Bitcoin. And one of the first examples of this, these concerns happened during the existence of the Silk Road website created by Ross Ulbricht, where there was these illegal drugs that were being paid for in the form of Bitcoin. And there's been, you know, the idea raised of this form of Bitcoin that would be ran and regulated by the government and Federal Reserve. But Mr. Corsi, my question is, do you think that there is any possibility that the creators of Bitcoin and the leading authorities on Bitcoin, people like Elon Musk, could join with the government and work together to create a collaborative long-term form of Bitcoin? Thank you.
It's a very good question. I think the real big players in cryptocurrency are going to have to work with the government.
But they don't really want to, do they?
They would prefer not to, or prefer not to be controlled by the government. In other words, they don't want the government to shut them down and to have a government monopoly on money so only the government can produce a currency. I think at the same time, there's offshore scams, there's attempts to do evade taxes, there are various criminals thinking about illegal uses of cryptocurrency to do transactions or to hide money or to involve it in the drug trade. I mean, any form of human activity that's profitable and has, you know, any kind of volume to it, criminals are going to be attracted to, and you've got to be aware of the potential for scams. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. And someone who understands that, you know, the cryptocurrency market is a market where you can lose as well as gain has probably got a healthy attitude to look at it responsibly and to invest in it responsibly. And I do think we can get responsible management of the cryptocurrency market in private hands if the governments will just allow the people like Elon Musk to continue to work with the government the same way Elon Musk has said, hey, look, we don't have to have NASA to do space travel. But I think private industry can play major roles that governments previously have dominated, and currency, I think, is again open to private companies creating cryptocurrencies.
I will admit, Jerry, that if I could get in a time machine, I'd go back to 2009 and buy about the $2,000 worth of Bitcoins,
well,
giving me 2,000 coins.
Wouldn't we all?
My God.
Hindsight is great in investing, and that's one of the things that makes it challenging. And it's, you know, why I've had securities and insurance licenses going on to, you know, since the 1980s. I've created two broker-dealers, and I continue to go back to gold and silver, Swiss America. I go back to annuities, and I am enthusiastic about cryptocurrencies with the proper warnings and cautions.
What's the Federal Reserve say about cryptos?
Well, right now the Federal Reserve is studying crypto, and they're looking at creating some government digital currencies, which may use some of the technology for cryptocurrency. But there are various possibilities. You could have a government form of cryptocurrency for retirement savings. You could have another government cryptocurrency that could essentially replace the Social Security system. There's different ways to create variants of currency among the federal government. We don't have to have just $1. We have different kinds of dollars, and they can utilize cryptocurrency technology. Now, again, for the future, it's going to take education of the public even to understand how to use these different currencies. And the cryptocurrency market, the way it's developing among the younger generation, the millennials, I think is the future of money, looking out at it again 20 or 30 years in the future. And governments are just beginning to catch up.
Was somebody asleep at the wheel with cryptos?
Well, in a sense, yes, George. I think the inventors and the people who've been dealing with computers and advanced, we've gone into a digital world, and it's happened very quickly.
It exploded quickly, didn't it?
Relativity theory was not very well understood, and we're getting quantum computers coming on the scene that utilize relativity theory as their core basis for calculations. And those getting out of education, graduating from college, are going to have a whole new world of things to understand that didn't exist in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, or 80s.
That's amazing what's happening. And it seems to be happening way too fast, doesn't it?
Very fast. And the pace of this is only going to accelerate. And it's going to accelerate worldwide, because right now these knowledge of these technologies is being shared worldwide. And China's intent on taking a lead. And China's doing extremely well right now in quantum computing. And they are taking the lead in clamping down and trying to prohibit cryptocurrencies. And I think that's a caution. I'd like to see our government not be so cautious, but to be much more open to Elon Musk and the others who want to create and continue to create private cryptocurrencies.
Jerry, tell us about your podcasts.
Well, my podcast, I'm doing a series of podcasts on CourseDebt.com. I've done 10 podcasts on cryptocurrencies. I did 10 on the modern monetary theory. They're all archived on Patreon.com and Subscribestar.com. We're broadcasting both audio and the video forms of the podcast on many different channels right now. SoundCloud, we're on a lot of different platforms. CourseDebt.com's got free ebooks, one on gold and silver, one on COVID. I'll have many more free ebooks. You can subscribe to the mailing list very easily on CourseDebt.com. And I'm going to be doing a new book on energy, Black Gold Stranglehold, which I wrote in 2006. It's just been put out in paperback. And I'm very excited about the future of this. I've created CourseDebt.com with my wife. She's actually the CEO. I'm going to be working Harmonica now.
That's one of the smartest things you've ever done.
I think it's one of the more brilliant things I ever did.
Stay with us, Jerry. We're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, David Cereda joins us with his thoughts of UFO disclosure, and we'll be back in a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi and final calls as we talk about cryptocurrency as well. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Dr. Jerome Corsi. All his websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Jerry, with all this money that because of COVID-19 the government has given to small businesses and some larger ones as well, there was nothing backing that either, was there?
No, again, the modern monetary theory is what the government's operating on today. Now, this is a new paradigm in economics. And what it says, it's a full embracement of fiat currency. In other words, no gold and silver backs the dollar. You can't go into a bank and turn in your dollar and get gold coins or silver coins. It's worth only the paper it's printed on. And what the government demands you have dollars to pay taxes, so you have to have dollars. And its value is really market-dependent. So the theory is you can print as much money as you want because the government can pay its debt by printing more money. Sovereign, it's a sovereign debt, so it can be paid off with a... So we've got $30 trillion accumulated national debt. We'll print a $30,000 bill or $30,000 trillion bill and pay it off. And essentially, the only restraint is hyperinflation. So under this modern monetary theory, you've got to have taxation to take demand out of the economy. We're going to test this now. We're in the middle of seeing whether it works or not. And currently, I think we're seeing inflation with all the money that's been put into the economy, and that's going to be a serious challenge to this theory. But the theory has a point in that, you know, the government does not take the money that you pay in taxes, which is, and then take it across the aisle and use that money to spend. Actually, if it were ever collected in dollars or coins, the government destroys that money. It's not taken across. The money that's spent is hypothecated by the budget itself and can be a dollar amount that can be in surplus, and there's nothing that's wrong with that according to this modern monetary theory, which is a fundamentally different way about thinking about economics. And with the progressive government now in charge, we're going to get to see whether it works or not. We're going to get a real test of the theory.
We sure will. Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to east of the Rockies. Josh is with us in Tennessee. Hello, Josh.
Hello, George. Hello, Dr. Corsi. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
First comment, you were talking earlier the digitization of books and society. I wonder if we were to suffer a global disaster, would a future society, a future culture determine that we no longer dealt in currency? Would there be no record of, we would no longer find coins and dig sites? Archaeology would say we had no currency. What did they use for trade? And secondly, Dr. Corsi, regarding the crypto mining itself and the environmental impact, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to find a graphics card. There's a chip shortage. There's vehicles sitting on lots. Or could we approach a peak mining, almost like a peak oil type scenario in the future, generating new crypto? And finally, Dr. Corsi, where we go one, we go all. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, there's several questions there. I mean, one thought experiment I test myself on is without electricity, where would be anyway? I mean, so much of
Dark Ages, Jerry.
You wouldn't be able. How dependent we are on the internet these days, and how dependent we are on digitization. You know, our banking accounts, our checking accounts, everything is digitized these days. And without electricity, you wouldn't have access to any of that. And so, therefore, you know, it's a digital society has its pluses and its minuses. In terms of the question about mining and bitcoins, it's kind of a pretty esoteric question. But the point is, I think the mining can be done using less electricity if the concern is, you know, the green environmental concerns. And Elon Musk, even the last 48 hours, has had meetings with various of the mining groups, which use these big banks of supercomputers to access and get the right to validate transactions in the blockchain. And they're talking about using more energy efficient ways to do the mining. And there are more efficient ways to do the mining. This Dogecoin or Dogecoin has a more efficient way of doing the mining than does Bitcoin, for instance. And that's a very technical reason why that is. But again, I think these are problems that can be solved. I don't think the electricity issues and doing the mining is a game stopper with regards to cryptocurrency.
How many different kinds of cryptocurrencies can there be? Like, we've got the Dogecoin, we've got the Bitcoin. I mean, can there be 50 different types of cryptos?
There already are.
Oh, my God.
Over 100.
Really?
I think there's 125 or so that are recognized right now. There's no limit. There can be as many as are viable. I mean, it's like any branding. How many brands of automobile can you have? Well, you can have as many as are produced and can make a market. But again, it usually settles down into a few winners who gain big market share. And right now, I think the experts, some of the Wall Street firms, or you know, Goldman Sachs, for instance, just had a report. They think that this Ethereum, which is the number two in the cryptocurrency world behind Bitcoin, will eventually overtake Bitcoin. Now, these are the kinds of things that are being debated and thought about in, you know, in top investment circles. And I'm not sure we've seen the winner yet in the cryptocurrency market. It's too new. But there will be winners, and there will be brands that persist. And again, I say the major test is going to be whether the governments are going to allow the private creation of money through cryptocurrencies. And I really hope that they do, because I think it would be very stimulating for economic growth around the world.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Keith is with us in Mission Viejo, California. Keith, hello there.
George, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Dr. Corsi, the federal government defines cryptocurrency as property, and property is subject to capital gains taxes, which right now is at 20% from the last administration, but it's going to increase to 39.6% with this new administration. So if I go to sell cryptocurrency or make a purchase, I'm going to be subject to those capital gains tax. And I've been thinking about moving to Puerto Rico, living there for 6 months, and then I don't pay any capital gains tax. Do you think that's the smart move for me?
Well, again, you're raising a very interesting question, because this modern monetary theory is predicated on increasing taxes to take demand out of the country.
And as you said, the IRS is jumping in on this now.
And the IRS is in it all, as hard as they can get into it. Now, in general, the capital gains, and you're right, the current definition of cryptocurrency is property. Now, again, these are newly emerging, and certainly trading money on a money exchange, you know, trading dollars for British pounds or for whatever currency, again, fall under different rules. But if the capital gains taxes are increased, which certainly the Biden administration is proposing, it's going to have a depressing effect on investment in general, at least it traditionally has. And we're kind of in a brave new world here of redefinitions. The monetary theory is a whole new paradigm. It's a whole new way of thinking about economic realities, such that money creation in a fiat world is possible and encouraged, even for socially desired goals. You can create money to redistribute income and do other socially achievable goals. And under modern monetary theory, it's approved. But you've got to increase taxes. And I'm not sure we have the political resolve to double capital gains taxes. And it would impact gains in cryptocurrencies. The gentleman is right. And moving to jurisdictions where you don't have to pay these taxes is certainly going to be a concern of the future for many people who are very tax sensitive.
Is there a limited amount of Bitcoin? Or
no,
can you
really
just keep
George,
buying?
As much as, I mean, there's really no limit at all. It's as much as can be created. I mean, again, there's no limit on anything that you want to manufacture. It's just that certain things have a limit as to what the demand for them is going to be, and certain brands usually do rise to the top in any commodity. And in a sense, cryptocurrencies are going to be like a commodity, and money is going to be a commodity. It's going to be, you know, not any longer gold or silver. It's going to be, do you like the fiat currency created by the government, or do you like the fiat currency created by Bitcoin or Ethereum or XPR? And there's going to be different brands, and they're going to be distinguished in how they operate and how they function, and different people liking one versus another. And it's just like in sports, how many football teams can you have? Well, you could probably have as many as you want. But there's only going to be a certain number of leagues that are going to be economically viable and a certain number of teams that gain fans. So that's, I think, going to be the same when it comes to cryptocurrencies.
Next up, let's go to first-time caller Jim in Vail, Arizona. Hello, Jim. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Yes, Dr. Corsi, my question is would this massive drop, it seems like a 50%, $1 trillion drop, in cryptocurrency, how much farther do you think it will drop? And my second question is there a connection from cryptocurrency drop to possibly a stock market drop? And those are them. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Well, they're very good questions. First of all, there's already today begun to be some recovery in the drop in the cryptocurrency market. Now, I don't know how elastic that is, but at some point or other, people are going to begin to see bargains and begin to move in for the bargains. And others who are going to hold on to their cryptocurrency and not sell it will only take a paper loss because the money could, you know, the cryptocurrency could come back to its original value. And in a market this volatile, even though the losses have been dramatic, the gains can be equally dramatic if the market reverses. So I think these are, you know, the kinds of things I would encourage people, again, to be very cautious with the money you put into the cryptocurrency, not to put in any more than you, you know, can risk losing. And I think these are factors that how will it affect the stock market. Again, I don't think there's necessarily a carryover because I think the cryptocurrency market is a separate market from the stock market. And the stock market right now has been buoyed by the amount of cash that's been infused into the economy. But if taxation increases, and you've seen signs of it, when the Federal Reserve has talked about increasing interest rates or when tax bills get introduced into Congress, the market loses 200 or 300 points right off. So the stock market's going to be very, very sensitive to tax changes. And I don't think the cryptocurrency is operating in the same economic dynamics. I think it's losing a lot of money in big losses and big gains because it's new and speculative yet. It hasn't been had enough time to be an established market.
Can people who are in their 20s and 30s really buy a Bitcoin, or can you buy a percent of a Bitcoin?
You buy Bitcoins are so expensive, there are ways to buy pieces.
Little chunks.
Yeah, chunks. And that, you know, if you want to be into Bitcoins, you can put whatever amount of money you decide to put into Bitcoin, and you'll own whatever percentage that is of its current value per coin. And you can also look for Bitcoins or cryptocurrencies. Right? Cryptocurrencies is the generic term, and Bitcoin's a brand. So you can find cryptocurrencies that are yet for pennies. There's different ways to invest in this market and different ways to play it. And I encourage people to really study it and not to think that they have to buy the most expensive form of cryptocurrency in order to be in the market. Many people are just now going in for pennies and seeing and hoping those will appreciate.
Jerry, take a minute and tell folks how they can hear you, see you, and read you.
Well, thank you, George. Corstet, Corstet.com is my website, created with my wife, Monica Stettner Corsi. It's the combination of our last two names. You can sign up for the emails and newsletter. Look for the red bars. In all of our programs, the red bars are the action bars. Right at the beginning of the website, you can sign up for the newsletter. And there's under the book section, there's free ebooks, one on gold and silver with Swiss America, one on COVID-19, which our telemarketing program is still doing very, very well with being able to deal with COVID cases and prescribe when appropriate for you COVID hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, whatever you need. Depending upon your needs, it's a doctor-driven program, and it's done extremely well. So there are many different programs focusing on telemedicine, gold and silver investing, and annuities. And, George, I've been in the annuity market for 25 years. I created annuity programs with banks around the world. So I'm going back to one of my old areas of expertise and looking forward to it. So Corstet.com, and we're doing daily podcasts, and we're on many different platforms.
Super. Jerry, keep in touch with us. We think the world of you, Mr. Corsi, and good luck with the new website and the new projects. Up next, David Cerita joins us. We're going to talk more about UFO disclosure right here on Coast to Coast AM.